Hello, hello.
Hey.
As you know, I am joined in the studio by Remy today, so if you hear any meows, that's our guy.
He's opinionated, you say?
He's got a lot of opinions today.
That can be a good thing or a bad thing. Where do you think he... have we covered this on the show before? What you
think
his political outlook is?
I mean, I call him a prince, but he's not an active prince. I think it's more of a cultural thing.
Okay.
He doesn't use the taxpayers' money. He's just, like, I think popular. Maybe it's like, you know, when you're like a pop princess.
Like the king of pop or something? Like
maybe he's just the king of pop.
Okay.
He's an influencer.
That hasn't put him anywhere politically.
I'm thinking about his behaviors. He likes food. He is often oppressed by copper. So I think, you know, he probably understands people's plights. He's against the police because copper is basically the police in our house.
Okay.
So I think that's good.
Yeah. He's downtrodden at least.
He's very downtrodden.
So what have you been up to?
Oh, man. Honestly, I started reading The Jungle for an upcoming episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so goddamn depressed about these Lithuanians. I started just like every time I walked past Kyle today or whatever, I'd just give him like really brief updates. Like the girl got pregnant and then she died. Like, but like with no context. And yeah. So he just is like getting like the worst actions that happen in this book. He's just getting them like play by play occasionally.
It's like you have a friend that's always going through it and you're just updating him on.
Yeah, like, man, they are really
now this happened.
Oh, it is rough. I was like, I'm kind of depressed now. I've read like 100 pages today, and I'm just like, ooh, that was a lot. So, I mean, I'm sure this podcast will not help, but, you know, whatever. Fuck it.
What are you talking about? Today is the Jump for Joy episode. We're going to talk about all the good things happening out there.
Positive vibes only. What will we even talk about? Did we just keep talking about Remy?
I was going to say, did you have anything in your random grab bag that is, like, positive?
I'm quickly scrolling. Okay, this one's kind of funny. I don't know if it's positive, but it's a little funny. This was a story that was going around on Twitter about this this guy who smoked a lot of weed, and he was worried that, like, his workplace was finding out about him selling to a bunch of his coworkers.
Ah, okay. Classic problem.
And so, yeah, so one of the managers noticed him always having quick little chats with his coworkers, and they took it the completely wrong way, and they thought he was trying to organize a union. And so he was really scared that he was going to get fired, but then he realized that, like, yeah, they could get me for selling pot, but they can't get me for, like, organizing a union. So he started organizing a union.
Hell yeah.
Based weed seller. Love that.
That's awesome. I mean, whatever gets you to the table, you know?
I mean, yeah, that can be your pet issue. That's totally fine. I welcome that.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's hearsay on the internet, so very well may not be true, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, it is. It does have sort of the air of a funny if true sort of story, like, maybe it's made up, but yeah, I'm choosing to believe.
I like it. Weed guy, if that's you, let us know.
Comrade Weed.
Mr. Green, if you will.
Or it's like Smoke Up the Weed. Shout out to him. Reddit contributor extraordinaire on Communism 101.
Yeah, man. You're doing great.
Well, okay. Yeah, there's some good going on in the world then.
Yeah, not all bad.
I think there's some labor activism that's weed motivated, or at least that's not maybe the primary motivator.
Maybe secondary, who knows?
Oh no, maybe other people are. Everyone's got their own motives. In North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee, Daimler truck workers are ready to go on strike.
Hell yeah, dog.
They're engaging in historic high stakes labor struggle against Daimler Truck North America. The contract between Daimler and 7,000 UAW members who build the company's heavy trucks and buses there are set to expire at midnight, April 26th. So maybe they're closer to a negotiation by release time, or maybe not.
Cool. So keep an eye on that. If it comes to pass, make sure you get out there and support them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Give to that strike fund if able.
Tanya Brown, a UAW member who works in quality control at Thomas Built Buses in High Point, North Carolina, serves as the recording secretary for UAW Local 5287, representing some 1,700 workers at Thomas Built, says, "I got my walking shoes, and I'm ready to walk that line because we deserve so much more than what we've been given. This is our time."
Hell yeah. That's great.
Kind of a part of the wider trend of labor militancy. It's good to see it continuing. I keep thinking we're going to hit that moment where it's like, that, remember that? Like, that was cool. But people start folding up and just kind of saying, it's fine.
No, I think there's a real trend. I think a lot of people are realizing, like, there's no stopping these people with just asking for it. Like, mm-hmm. You really do have to get out there and use your power. I don't know. I mean, I've been in the depths of reading the jungle, so it's like, these fuckers are going to do whatever the fucking they can to get away with bad shit.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
It's a war out there. So fucking fight back.
So what do you think, though, in terms of how we make the translation, how we make the conversion between people doing labor organizing, you know, for the first time or long time, you know, as these unions grow and stuff? And how do they make the transition from that to real
full-on socialism?
Yeah, to building on that. I don't know to say that what they're doing is not real, but I mean, like, to take the next step and, yeah, be like socialists.
There's a part of me that's not as concerned about that, if that's I know that sounds weird, but like, to me, in the United States environment, there's such a deep anti-union sentiment now, or at least there has been for the past like 40 years or whatever, that it's impressive that they got there at all. I'm just like, wow, you did it. You overcame massive amounts of propaganda and threats and all that shit. So like, they're willing to like kind of wade through some crap to get to what they think are good beliefs. So for me, that kind of hints at an open-mindedness. And I think like the very act of creating a union requires you to ally with people you probably wouldn't normally line yourself up with, you know, like if you have a very diverse workforce, or whether you're, you know, there's a gender aspect to the parity of pay or something. There could be a lot of those kinds of issues going on. So, and I think it's incumbent on, you know, leftists and people in those kind of more special interest groups or whatever you want to call them to also be supporting the union so they can see like who has their back. So it's a reciprocal kind of relationship of solidarity in that way, I guess, of like, cool, like this, you know, queer group is out here supporting my, you know, trucking strike. That's fucking great.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, maybe that causes them to think like, okay, I heard a lot of propaganda against this union and I overcame that. Maybe I've also heard a lot of propaganda about like trans people, but look, they're the ones out here supporting me.
Yeah. It's harder to be like, you know, yeah, we should take people like that and people in that community's rights away, when it's like, but they were like, I know that person and they were actually also with me in this struggle. And, you know, that's a harder sell, I think.
Yeah, I think the left has to do whatever the fucking they can to drive out that support, to like kind of show that. I just think that's a lot more powerful than being like, hey, while you're standing in the picket line, you want me to read to you about socialist theory? Like, no.
Yeah. But so, I mean, you know, at some point this has to be done. They have to. Do you think it's so far down the road that?
Does it? I'm going to ask you. Does it?
Well, if we ever want to have a communist revolution, we're going to have to move people.
I mean, this is something we've noodled around on for a long time on this show, is the baggage of these labels. I mean, we fucking even talked about when we were naming the show. Sure. We're like, yeah, we're going to lose a lot of people just in the title. And yeah, like, you know, go look at our reviews. Pretty much all the one-star ones are just like haters who didn't even listen.
Yeah.
They just fucking hate communism.
These guys like communism. Ew.
They must be literal terrorists. But what I'm saying is, let's play this out. Let's say this labor movement is a thing and it's going to grow. And like pretty soon, everybody's in a union. I mean, not pretty soon. Over many years, everybody's in a union. And then eventually you get these people thinking, well, fuck, shouldn't we like run the government too? We're doing a great job running this union. You know, like, is there a possible way? I'm not saying it has to be this way, obviously. I'm just saying it to me, it could be possible to get there without necessarily having to go in vanguard style and say, well, hold on, we got to call ourselves the right thing.
So you're speculating the possibility of them sort of stumbling backward into it.
Kind of like, hey, we took over our workplaces, seems to be working pretty fucking well. And everyone, and I see now how our struggles are connected. I see the cops coming after us all the fucking time. Like, I feel like maybe, I mean, obviously long shot, all those things have to happen. You have to keep winning and you have to like keep pushing the boundaries till eventually, yeah, you are fully taking over the workplace and not just negotiating, you know, for more and more. But theoretically, maybe.
So if you do that, one might wonder if you end up in a place of social democracy, though, where you haven't really liberated the rest of the world. You're just sort of like more fairly distributing your empire's gains.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Palestine has shown us that there are so many people fucking pissed and confused about that situation that I could see if you had a big enough labor movement and you had enough people just generally on the left, you could possibly make that conclusion too, of like, hey, we took over the workers, you know, we took over the factories. I'm working at this factory. I don't want to fucking make bombs and kill people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is some syndicalist utopian stuff.
Yeah, I guess much has been said in this regard and along the lines of agreeing with it and along the lines of it's forbidden to say whatever. Much is in the same way that, you know, everyone can kind of look back on World War II and be like, well, those guys were the bad guys. Like, they were very bad. They wore like the skulls on their helmets and they like executed millions of people.
Super evil.
And they just like, they dressed up. I mean, like later when we're making movies, we just make like the bad guys their uniform so we can be like, well, they're bad.
Those are the bad ones.
I think that Israel is doing a lot in that vein of like being cartoonishly evil.
Uh-huh.
So that people who don't even really tune into the news very often or don't understand broad geopolitics or the long history of the occupation, the expulsion and occupation of Palestine and everything, like,
they can still say like, oh, they fucking murdered aid workers. Like, I'm anti that for sure.
Yeah, it's so bad that like anyone can. I don't know if that's going to translate into a wider anti-imperialist lens. I mean, the United States is, if nothing else, a nation of treats. I mean, we need things for cheap. And
we're not getting those anymore.
One way that happens.
We're not really. I mean, I guess they're cheaper than they are in other places, but shit does not feel cheap right now.
While that is true, I don't know if anyone thinks the solution is let's liberate the working masses of Bangladesh and allow them to, you know, not work in sweatshops or whatever, you know, or the lithium mines and wherever, or yeah, maybe people might say, oh, let's make the corporations like pay higher prices for that or give us lower prices and take less of the profits. I don't know. But I think that they're not going to tinker with, they're going to tinker around the edges and not really go after like the heart of the exploitation. I don't know.
I mean, it's possible. I guess my thinking is like we're being provided so little by both our government and corporations that like I think a lot of people are reaching the fucking breaking point of like, what the fuck am I doing this for? You know, you got a lot of discontents and I don't know if that gets pushed in the right direction. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I would say maybe we're further from that in the United States.
Yeah, I don't think we're fucking there by any means. I don't think it's going to fucking pop off. Like, if it does, well, color me surprised. But I don't know.
You don't think we're about to team up with California or whatever it is?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to take our sides in the fucking Civil War, apparently.
Yeah, I don't really mean it as an optimistic take to say, oh, I don't think we're that bad yet. That's not what I mean. I think, like, we're in... Because honestly, to me, I think the revolution would... Well, as a communist, I think it'd be a good thing if we were doing that. Obviously, it could be like a
be very uncomfortable.
It could, well, yeah, but I mean, it could also go in bad ways. I'd love to go into
a coma when it pops off, and then I just wake up, and it's like, we did it.
Good job, yeah. Welcome back.
Dude, do you think there was one, like, Russian surf or whatever that happened to? Like, he just gets bonked on the head, like, fucking horse kicks him in the head, and gets knocked out, 1917. Pops back up. Like in a year, and he's like, the fuck is happening?
Wow. Yeah, maybe.
His family moves to like the big city or something, and so he's like, I'm so confused. What is going
what
on?
What are we doing? What are you guys doing writing to me? What is the problem? You know, I can't read this.
I don't know what these are. Let's see what else I got in my screenshots. That's where I keep all my goodies. Let's see. This is a funny quote from Harry Truman. Not really a guy we hear about much on this show. He does suck, but this quote's pretty fucking funny. He's talking about MacArthur here, also boo.
Yeah.
Said, I fired him because he wouldn't respect the authority of the president. I didn't fire him because he was a dumb son of a bitch, although he was, but that's not against the law for generals. That's
damn.
Amazing.
That's a sick burn.
Well, imagine that as like your exit interview. Like some calls for a reference.
Listen here, I could have fired you for being a son of a bitch, but that's not against the law.
Dumb son of a bitch. This guy's super fucking dumb. Also doesn't listen to you.
Yeah, not a great look. MacArthur, shithead in chief. Probably did war crimes. I'm not really familiar with this.
I think so, right? Philippines?
Well, he was there, but during, like, World War II, I want to say.
Yeah, that's when we did a lot of war crimes.
Well, but, like...
but not as bad.
I don't know how... I don't actually know the direct history of it, but the Japanese Empire was really pretty brutal in the area overall. So, yeah, we probably did some war crimes, because it's like you can't kind of swing a gun without doing a war crime in a war zone. I don't know them off the top of my head there in the Philippines part. I think mostly they were trying to, like, free it from Japan. But they probably, you know, tortured some Japanese soldiers or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Let's see. I've got a funny little image to share. So I originally saw this on Twitter on someone's account called The Synesthetic. And it really made me giggle. I just sent it to you in the chat.
He's so happy about it, though.
He's so happy. So it's a t-shirt, and it says, I'm built different on it. And then underneath is a cute little cartoon Boeing 737 with a really cartoonish smile as he is, like, crumbling in the air. And then underneath, in parentheses, it says, incorrectly.
Oh, I love that.
It's really silly. It makes me laugh through the horrors, which is all you can ask for at this time.
But don't worry, they're getting it together, probably.
Oh, I'm sure. They'll never do anything bad ever again.
No, it should be fine. It is one of those, it's an interesting conundrum, because it's like, yes, air travel is still way, well, it's, you know, super inefficient and everything, but it is, like, way safer than a lot of other forms of travel, but... It's because it's been rigorously, like, policed and quality controlled and everything else. If you don't do that, you're probably going to see a lot more plane crashes and deaths.
Dude, yeah. I have a trip coming up. I'm probably going to have to, like, have a drink first or something. I don't know. That's mm-hmm. pretty rough.
It's a boon for the airport bar industry.
Yeah, right? They're doing okay.
I have a interesting story I came across today. It's about a law they're trying to amend, I guess, or they're trying to reauthorize this law and then make a little change to it. It's part of, like, the Patriot Act.
Oh, goody.
Stuff that they have to reauthorize parts to. So there's a section of it called Section 702, which is the wiretapping part.
My favorite part, actually.
Everyone loves that part where the government can spy on you. It's very fun.
Hello, government.
Dave and Dan, how y'all doing? It's been a while since we shouted you guys out
it's
directly.
True. For new listeners, we think that they're in a little van outside our houses, respectively, shooting in rays that cause our pets to knock things over during recordings or bark.
Do you think that they switch who they're watching frequently?
Yeah, because I always picture them together in the van.
Yeah. Same, because it's a classic stakeout, you know?
Yeah, you gotta have two guys in there.
They gotta, like, take out bags on the dash and, you know.
So they can cuddle.
Yeah. They, like, one of them smoking.
Yeah, I think they do. I feel like they're mostly at your house, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know why. I do.
It's easier. Like, the roads aren't as tight to park in, you know? So they just have more room.
My neighborhood is pretty fucked.
But then they have more Karens to come around and be like, excuse me, excuse me.
They just have to... Well, I've got some fucking loud motorcycle driving by. Maybe that's them. Maybe
acoustics.
They do drive-bys here.
Yeah. When they're bored and they want to stretch their legs, one of them hops out and gets on a motorcycle.
Gets
or
on a motorcycle.
Or the big truck.
Big-ass truck with, like, no muffler. Like, that's them.
Yeah. They have a whole garage of them that they loop around.
There's certainly enough auto mechanics in this neighborhood for that to work. For your neighborhood, they should... probably just have, like, a home repair, you know, logo or service on there, you know, a plumber or whatever. I think that would keep the Karens away.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Anyway, wiretapping.
Yeah, what are they listening to? What are they going to do?
Well, they're
with this?
Worried it's not efficient enough. You know, they're not getting to spy on enough people.
Oh, good.
There's some exceptions in there. And they're like, ooh, what if that might not be good? They are worried that data centers were not included. And so they changed up the wording. Because basically, when they wrote the law initially, it was the law they based that off of. So you got to think back in 2001, right?
Like it didn't account for tech and shit?
Yeah, basically. So the internet that they're legislating for, the laws they based that off of were like from the 80s or something. Like it's, you know, super old. So it didn't really include anything like data centers and stuff. And so they want to change the law to expand who can be covered under, who can the government force to turn over information or to obtain information for them. So who can the government force to turn spy and gather information on people? And so they're changing the law in a pretty overly broad way.
Listen, I love a broad.
Yeah. So the law's current definition, they're like a electronic communication service provider, you know, so this is like who you think it is, you know, your ISPs, telecoms, like
I heard VPNs too, right?
Oh, maybe. I don't, it just does, it says any communication server services provider with access to transmitted blah blah blah. So like your official guys. But I think this is expanding it to maybe include like VPNs and things, which I don't think VPNs have all the information they need to do that. And at least the ones that are properly set up, they set things up on purpose to where even if they were asked to turn things over, they're like, this doesn't mean anything.
Here I don't you go. Have this. This is just a jumble of letters.
This is random. But this bill would change the service provider definition to mean any service provider with general access to those same communications or with access to equipment that is being or may be used to transmit or store such communications, as well as any custodian of these providers. So that's very arcane sounding. What does that mean? What this article by Branko Marketic in Jacobin, he's kind of expanding off of. So I initially saw this in the Times just reporting on it. And they were like, some people are criticizing this, but this is just a small change.
It's fine.
It's not a big deal. I mean, and they quote some opponents. I don't want to completely mischaracterize them, but it didn't seem as extreme when I read it over there. And then I came to read more about it. So he was explaining kind of what that means. What does this cover? Who does this expand it to? And privacy advocates are saying that this could open it up to way beyond just data centers, business landlords, shared workspaces, hotels where guests connect to the internet. And the custodian's angle could be like any third party involving the equipment. So the equipment part, the storage part, cleaning services to any of these entities. Any of these guys could be used to obtain information, basically to be a spy.
Damn.
And apparently they tried to do this back in December, but people complained. And so their fix that they're introducing now was, okay, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to put in some exemptions. Like, okay, sure. Yeah, fine. No hotels. no coffee shops or
great
senior centers. We're not going to make the senior centers spying on all the old people's texts or anything.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Good news for Tony and his crew.
Yeah. Well, this is great. They can't spy on us any. It's in the law. But that's, so the thing with those carve-outs, it was supposed to be like, it's fine, it's not going to be that bad, right? But like, that just lists specific things you can't, and then everything else is allowed.
Everything else is fair game. If you're like in public with technology, which is, you know, everywhere.
Yeah. and okay, you know, oh, it's in Jacobin, it's just a bunch of radicals saying this, but they quote the, you know, sitting U.S. Senator, Democrat Ron Wyden, who is kind of sometimes good on privacy issues, pretty much bad on most of
everything
things.
Else.
I mean, he's just, okay. He's a regular Democrat.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
said that this law allows the government to force any American who installs, maintains, or repairs anything that transmits or stores communications to spy on the government's behalf.
What the fuck? So your neighbor can just, like, whatever.
Yeah, that means anyone with access to a server, a wire, a cable box, a Wi-Fi router, or a phone.
So everybody.
Yeah.
Like every person.
Humans. Yeah. Citizens.
Every people. Household, at least.
Yeah. He added that it would all be entirely secret, and that those compelled by the government to spy for them would be bound to silence, and there would be no court oversight.
So, like, what happens if this, like, you don't have a choice? Like, if someone, they're just like, hey, we're going to make you spy on your neighbor?
Yeah, you're going to need to obtain this information. We got, like, this warrant. You're the guy with access to it. You got to turn
Fuck
it over.
Fuck no.
The privacy advocates are terming it the everyone is a spy provision.
It really is. That's accurate. Wow, I hate this.
Yeah.
This is some real 1984 shit. Not in the usual communist anti-Russia way.
Yeah. They, you know, get into some hypotheticals, which I think are kind of valid. They're like, you know, the government could use this to never do this, of course. And they never just like assassinate journalists or anything, much less spy on them.
Of course not.
You know, and the law does give them the power to spy on journalists who are communicating with foreigners, whether these are officials of an adversarial nation or perhaps a dissident disliked by the Washington establishment. They could force, you know, anybody with access to the journalist's laptop to, you know, get into that and get the communications and do everything. Yeah.
So there's no such thing as a safe source anymore.
Right. There's no way to cover your sources because that can just be exposed.
Yeah.
By like your hotel cleaning staff.
Jesus Christ. That's nasty.
Yeah. What's crazy is, and I just didn't know about this, but they published these reports by the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, who are supposed to like kind of go through the records and see like, did they do a good job of, you know, actually going after real people or did they abuse this power or what happened? Right. And there's lots and lots of abuses of the power as it stands now, like before they get the superpower version of this.
Oh, cool. Like, so they're already doing some bad shit.
Yeah. Because they have this ability to basically do backdoor domestic surveillance where that's what I'm saying. If they have a, if you suspect any sort of foreign communication with somebody, right? So, oh, you've got somebody you're interested in intelligence-wise from China, you can spy on their communications even if it's with U.S. citizens. And so that's where you get kind of the backdoor surveillance of, oh, now we've got stuff on this U.S. citizen. We're going to look at them through this, like, you know, backdoor maneuver. All right. So what ways do we think they have gone after people in... What are some... Just off the top of your head, do you think... Obviously, they probably did this. Abuses of power. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, probably just like using people's relatives and shit to spy on countries they don't like. Like Cuba or China or something.
So people's relatives here from China. Okay, so using them. What about people in America? Who do you think that they were... Using this to
unions,
spy on.
Unions.
Okay, using it to spy on unions? What else?
Let's see. I mean, they really fucking hate unions. Who else do they hate? Just leftist organizations in general, but there ain't that many of them.
Okay, yeah. Any Hail Marys you want to throw? Like, oh, maybe let's this. See. Like, that would be funny if this.
Maybe some teachers. Maybe some college teachers. I don't know.
All right, let's see what we got. I didn't see unions on the list. Very surprising.
Whoa.
Yeah. But we did have a Chinese American professor. So we did have college teachers. We had more than 100 George Floyd protesters.
There we go.
Current and former journalists and political commentators. Mm-hmm. Mosques.
Yep. Forgot about those.
Random immigrants. Tens of thousands of searches related to civil unrest over the course of a year. Also, non-political groups that they describe here as these are kind of random instances, but 1,600 Americans who had flown to or from a foreign country through an airport in a particular date range. They just had an airport, and we like everybody who went through here at this time. Like, no matter what you did, they were just like surveilling you.
That sucks, dog.
Just taking a flight.
Oh my, they could find some nasty shit. How creepy is that?
Yeah. This random group of athletes, as well as the article adds most outrageously, one NSA analyst's prospective tenant.
Oh my God. Of course that fucker's a landlord, and of course he's using his surveillance material on. Oh my God.
And another NSA analyst's romantic interests from an online dating service.
Guys need to burn in super hell.
He was worried he was getting catfish or something, probably.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. That's what they can do with this. And they're not allowed to. But that's like the stuff they get up to with the secret court system and everything the way it is now, like without it being made worse.
Without having the entire internet and random citizens at your disposal.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
They also went after a congressman, a senator, a state senator, former and serving government officials more generally, 19,000 congressional campaign donors, a state court judge who reported a municipal police chief's civil rights violations to the FBI. All these under the current system without everybody being potentially used in this spying program. It's crazy.
Wow.
One thing I thought was particularly telling, or like an interesting observation in this article that I think we should be interested in as socialists and communists, is the extent to which this is a bipartisan effort here. This is being led by the Democrats in Congress, passed overwhelmingly in the House, 273 to 147, but it's got support from both parties. And we're coming up on another election where they're telling us, you know, if the other guy wins, it's going to be the end of democracy. You know, this is the most important election. Everything else they're voting to, there's a non-zero chance they're going to lose. They're voting to make, you know, give the government this incredible power and saying, yeah, you know, our opponents, they might be in charge. They might get this incredible power.
Get rid of the incredible power. No one should have that.
Yeah. Why the hell would you do that?
Yes, all so bad. Like, we don't bad want anyone to have it. Using it. Should not exist.
Yeah, but instead, our government, the government bought and paid for by the capitalist class, is saying, let's do this. Let's like make this more intense. Somebody characterized it as Stasi-like.
Totally.
And Edward Snowden tweeted and said, this is not only a fair characterization, it's probably generous.
Truly. Wow. That's nuts, dude. And you know, they're going to like use AI and shit to figure out like, okay, who should I spy on next? You know, they're already doing that.
Yeah.
Ugh. Nasty, nasty stuff.
When your liberal friends, I mean, probably not your conservative friends. They're probably not making this pitch to you, but still.
Yeah.
When anybody's saying, you know, it's your duty to go vote. Democracy's on the ballot. This is the democracy they're talking about.
Dude, like, yeah.
The meme, you know, we have democracy at home. This is what it looks like.
I mean, I saw that fucking trolley meme going around with a version of like all these different flags on one. And it was like all these like queer flags. And, you know, I think I can't remember which ones were all there. But there's like a bunch of different flags on one. And then on the other track was just the Palestinian flag. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to make this choice. What the fuck are you guys doing?
What the hell? Wait, sorry. That means that they're saying we would be willing to guarantee you all the rights of all the other oppressed groups if you will just...
Yeah, they're saying everything's on the table except Palestine. And the trolley switch was marked the Democratic Party. If you just for the Democrats, all we'll do is just wipe out a whole group of people.
The trolley switch is the Democrats?
Yeah, the one that switches it so they just run over Palestine.
That's Democratic Party says, let's go.
We're just going to run over one guy. No big deal.
And then the other choice would be, let's run over everyone else. Before. This is confusing. it's bizarre to, if they're trying to say, yeah, just offer them up as a sacrificial lamb. Like, this will be fine. Yeah. This is, you know, I actually found this out just the other day. Did you know that in the Quran, the story of like the binding of Isaac is instead Ishmael? Abraham goes to offer Ishmael up. And Ishmael's like, fucking do it.
Whoa.
Like, do this thing, be loyal to God, like submit to God's will, you know, kind of fits in the like religious motto and everything. And then God's just like, I was never planning on you actually doing this, you know.
Wow. That's so interesting.
You submitted. But yeah, I never knew that there was like a straight up factual dispute of like who was even involved in that story.
That's a crazy change to make.
Well, then, you know, you got to say, who's making the change? Was it originally that or what?
Yeah.
All right, break the track. Let's see. Fucking break the track. Okay, this is the Democrats. They're saying, the Republicans want to kill everyone. And the Democrats just want to kill
everyone, including
Palestinians.
So the on the chopping block for the Republicans, according to this trolley situation, is Palestine. We got Mexico. Just Mexico. Trans people, I guess feminists, Ukraine, gays, Black Lives Matter people, Muslims, and I am pretty gay, and I still don't know what that last flag is. It looks like it's intersex, I'm going to guess. That is the circle that's traditionally used for intersex, and the color palette might be that. I'm never sure of the yellow, white, purple, black one.
I'm Googling yellow, white, pink, black, circle flag.
I think that's intersex or gender nonconforming, maybe more broadly.
The circle part is intersex, but then the color scheme
is
yellow, white, purple, or this is purple, black, which I guess that's kind of close.
Purple. It's like a light purple.
Is non-binary.
I don't like that one. That's why I don't use it.
I was going to say, how the hell do you not know this?
I use the gender queer flag. I think it's prettier.
Okay, that's fine. I'll allow it as a straight white man.
Thank you for letting me choose which flag I get to use.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's who's on the chopping block for the Republicans. On the Democratic side, they're just going to kill the Palestinians. Just one group.
Okay, I see. This makes a lot more sense. Yeah, no, don't do either of those things.
No.
I feel like the trolley problem is kind of designed to, if done in a group setting, It's kind of like designed to give you a window into the mental unwellness of your peers and like just what's wrong with these people? Why are they talking about this? Why?
I mean, it's utilitarianism, you know, like it's never gonna make anyone look good. It's made for people who think they're smarter than everyone else and are only working with logic. So real assholes.
Democratic Party, not a good option.
Not a good one. I've got either a funny CIA story or a movie I watched recently.
Let's go with we're on intelligence right now. Let's do CIA. Yeah.
Okay.
What are those dumbasses up to?
So this was a tweet I saw from Krista Peterso, or it could be Peter S.O. I don't know your name. Anyway, she was reading about this 70s Senate committee hearing. And they're interviewing some CIA folks.
Was it the Church Committee?
Or
the House Select Committee on Assassinations?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right.
Wow, good job. Good pull. And in this interview, we find out that the CIA was in possession of enough toxins derived from shellfish to kill at least 14,000 people.
What?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
And saying if this was administered with a lab, it could kill like thousands and thousands more. Depends on how you do it. And so they're like, okay, so why did you do this? What was the need for this? And the guy answers, Mr. Colby answers, well, we had like a suicide pill developed during World War II, but it's like really nasty and like takes a long time to use it. And so we're trying to make something like more instantaneous. And they're like, okay, well, if that's the case, why did you build it in a fucking dart gun? That's you not have really to go. Traditionally, you have to put it in your heart too.
Jeez.
It's no, it gets worse. It's a dart gun. It goes in the heart and it is so, I guess, subtle or whatever. You don't know if you've been hit. So it's definitely for secret murders.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
It fires silently and has a range of 100 meters. That's how I do my suicide, at least. Yeah.
You give this to your friend.
Take me out.
They go far away, and that way
shrimp
you can just...
Shrimp me up, brother.
But they can't be Jewish. They will refuse.
Yeah, that's a super non-kosher way to die. That sucks, dude. Oh, so stupid.
Just... Okay, it had to just be, like, the toxic... They weren't like, let's make something with shellfish. Like,
it had to just be they found that chemically.
Yeah. And they're just like, well, we can pretty easily get away with buying shellfish. No one's going to raise any eyebrows.
It says that they couldn't explain the quantity. It was a collaboration with the U.S. Army, and they developed it for possible use. It says when CIA retained the amount that it did, it obviously did it improperly. So they're like, I don't know why we have so much of this shit lying around.
Let's figure out how to make a poison.
Let's go to the shrimp room. So stupid.
Yeah, that's totally a heart attack gun, though.
Oh, completely, yeah. Like, weird, he just fell over. He seemed fine. Do you think it would, like, super explode you if you had a shellfish allergy? Like, it's supposed look really chill and everything, but they, like, didn't do their opsec, and so they end up shooting someone with, like, a fucking shellfish allergy, and they just explode.
Yeah. It's like a 50 cal just takes off the top half of your body.
God.
If you had a shellfish allergy.
They do the autopsy and the heart's just like all swollen and weird looking. Like, I don't know. It looks like he had a shellfish attack at his chest. Super weird. He's very blotchy.
Someone injected shell. Well, that's sort of what happened.
It's a closed casket funeral for sure.
Yeah. Oof.
That's rough.
Well, you can always count on the bozos at the CIA.
Fucking Dave and Dan got shellfish guns right now.
They're like, oh, you think this is stupid? Get ready. But that's kind of crazy, though. The did you say that was the Church Committee?
Yeah, it comes from Church Committee Volume 1, Intelligence Activities, Unauthorized Storage of Toxic Agents is the title of the PDF I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's how we have a lot of the information of what the CIA was up to. We also had the House Select Committee on Assassinations. That was in 1976. The Church Committee was in 1975 in the Senate, I guess. So it's like dual roles. But like COINTELPRO, MKUltra, all this shit we would like not know about.
Is this shit still like, we're not doing these kinds of investigations anymore, are we? So who the fuck, like Kyle and I were joking about today. We're cooking and we're using cornstarch. And so the brand we have is Argo. And so we made a joke of like, Argo, fuck yourself. Because that's like the joke from the movie. And we like that movie. And I was like, do you think like once shit gets declassified, the CIA is like, oh, cool, I finally get to tell this story. And then like I took a second. I was like, no, they are thinking the opposite of, oh, fuck. something new and terrible came out about us.
Yeah, like we're in another nadir of... Like,
we're due for some shit.
Yeah. I mean, eventually they're, what did they have to do for the Church Committee to happen they had to get rocked. I mean, it was the
60s. They had to do Watergate. Yeah.
It was Watergate, the assassinations of JFK, Martin Luther King, RFK, these, super high profile deals and like other countries saying you tried to assassinate Castro for the 600th time.
You left your box of Looney Tunes Acme equipment over here on the beach.
Yeah, the journalist you sent to try to assassinate him, slept with him instead. Haha.
Amazing. That's some fucking riz.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so I mean, it took like so many public L's for them to be like, okay, these guys are fucking up to too much shit. We have to do something about them. They're clearly corrupt. We got to invest, you know, and then you got the question of like how much of it was what the intelligence community calls a limited hangout, where they only release or allow
they
to
only
be
admit to some
uncovered,
of it.
Yeah, what they want to. They know they have to do something, and it's not going to be pleasant necessarily, but they have to figure out, okay, well, this isn't doing us as much good.
It's like when, we're rewatching Sopranos right now, in case you can't tell. It's like when Meadow suggests her own punishment, like, I think I should have my credit card taken away.
Yeah.
God, I hate that girl. Ugh. The worst children. I'm like, if my kids just don't turn out like Meadow and Anthony Jr., I will have done a good enough job.
That's such a low bar.
It's a really low bar.
They're terrible.
They're the worst fucking children. Kyle's always like, well, at least Meadow is smart. I'm like, no, the way she talks to her mother.
They had it bad, so
they had,
you get
they,
it.
They had bad role models, for fucking sure. Ugh, they make me so angry.
But eventually, hopefully, well, this is kind of a secondary hope, that eventually, hopefully, we have another round of investigating the government and we come up with more shit.
That'll be fun.
Ideally, we don't get to that point and we overthrow the whole thing before.
Yeah. I'd love that first, for sure. But, I mean, we had that little UAP situation. That was it. I feel like we haven't had a good hearing in a while. Oh, more.
Which one was a UAP?
The UFO shit.
WAP.
UWAP.
It's kind of like WAP, but UWAP.
It's a, what would the U be? Unilateral ass pussy. No. Unitarian ass pussy. You know, they give the best. Oh my gosh.
The UFO stuff. Okay. Or the artist formerly known as UFO.
Yes, now UAP. For those in the know.
What do you think about those? Are they for real? Or because I thought that you were more on the for real train.
I think they're fucking for real. I'm all in. I'm into it.
What about the idea that like the government kind of co-opted UFO type stories and like ran with them as a cover to discredit various people and to cover up what they were secret weapons testing and shit?
It's very possible. But I don't know, the way those things move and like the accounts you have from people, it seemed pretty bonkers to me. And then like looking up Roswell shit, that's always cool.
Like, Roswell's hilarious because like just clearly do freak out about something and then they later kind of comically go out there and like, oh, look at this weather balloon you found.
It's like the worst cover up ever. And you have like all these stories of like, people were bringing home shit from the crash to like show their kids. And yeah. So now you have all these old people being like, yeah, my dad brought home this mysterious metal that could like change its shape and blah, blah, blah. Like it was like foil, but smooth and it could move and blah, blah, blah. But like, that's how lax the security was. Like you just take home some of it to your fucking kids. Be like, check this shit out, honey.
It's crazy.
I fucking love it. Ugh. That's a good old government incompetence right there.
All right, to pursue this line further, maybe we'll do like a full...
Ooh, aliens episode?
Aliens episode. But I'm like, down. Teaser, what do you think is to gain from your perspective of this is a real thing that they're covering up? What do you think they're like? Are they X-Files style, like in a conspiracy with the aliens to, you know, harvest you, you know, some kind of crazy shit? Or
here's my think. Here's my think, is what I just said. I'm not even drunk. I've had a lot of Slurpee, so I'm sugar drunk.
They high on Slurpee.
it's good. My tongue is so red. What if, think about it this way, you know, there's that old, there's a name for it, that old kind of maxim that aliens, to get to super advanced, you know, interstellar travel, would have had to avoid a nuclear fucking disaster, climate collapse, you know, some big shit.
The bottleneck, yeah.
That's it.
The great filter, I think it is.
The great filter, that might be it, too.
The great filter is what it's called. It's
good
basically,
job.
You are going to fuck yourself up before you get there, or maybe you don't. But that's why it's an answer to the...
Why don't we have more aliens?
Fermi paradox, yeah.
Yeah. So, here's my thinking. To get to that point, what if you kind of have to be a socialist or a communist? So you got these cool ass aliens coming here and being like, I'm trying to spread the good word, I'm trying to liberate Earth or whatever, and you got a government saying, not on my fucking house.
Their worst fears were realized. They met
communist aliens.
Yeah.
And not the like immigrant kind.
Reds from outer space.
Ultimate immigrants, I guess.
Yeah. Illegal aliens because theory. And the illegal thing was they were communist.
That's the big illegal part. Did you know, I learned this on Jeopardy today, in the 1950s, a baseball team changed its name. The Reds, the Cincinnati Reds, were like, we can't have that right now.
Yeah. I don't. Well, they're still called the Cincinnati Reds. I think they took the Reds off of their logo.
Yeah, yeah. They just like kind of downplayed it.
Oh, I did think that was kind of funny too, because it's like, how was this team called the Reds for a long time?
Yeah, I love the Reds. Go Reds.
Yeah, we should kind of go for them just for that. But then they
also should like make it a code name, you know, like Friends of Mary or whatever. You know, like we'll say, oh, I'm a big fan of the Cincinnati team.
Oh, wink, yeah, yeah. Wink. Go Cincinnati, yeah.
Go Cincinnati.
Well, Liverpool are also the Reds.
We could also be Liverpoolians, which is a fun, stupid. What is that term for where you're from something?
I think it's called a new name. Denonym.
Denonym, that's a fun word. Liverpoolians is the silliest one, I think.
No, it's a demonym.
Demonym.
Like demonym.
Oh, like a demographic name. Makes sense.
I was kind of close, but
nice. I mean, you just have that rattling around in there, so I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For better or worse.
So I watched a movie last night. Can I talk about it?
I'm going to allow it.
Thank you. I have the floor. So, yeah, we're watching like old movies now. We started with, I've talked about some of the ones we've done before, but this past week we did 12 Angry Men, which was really good. Yeah? I loved it.
I've considered watching it before.
It's super good. It's very much like a play. Like, they don't fucking leave the room pretty much. So you're just like in there with these dudes.
Do you like that? Like, I find that I really like movies that are so like, in my mind, it's like tight camera. Like it like there's, like you said, they don't leave. Like it's just boom, one, boom. It's one right set. Here. Yeah.
Cause I like it. Cause it reminds me of a play. And so I'm like, ooh, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
And it becomes all about characters, and like that's my preferred method of storytelling, is character driven. So like that one we made our friends watch, the caveman one.
Oh, the people talking. Oh. Not caveman, what do you mean?
He was
the Jesus guy.
Yeah, but he was also a caveman. He's old as hell.
The immortal guy. Yeah,
yeah. Spoiler, the guy's immortal.
They were talking in the cabin or something.
Man on Earth.
I don't remember the title.
Hold on.
It was too mind-blowing for me to remember the title.
Original movie, Immortal Man. The Man from Earth. There we go. That movie's really good. It had those vibes in the sense that it's like, we're just going to fucking talk in this room the whole time.
Yeah. It's funny. On the flip side, I also really like Westerns, which are essentially the opposite of like huge flowing landscapes and like tiny little people riding across.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, this is really good. I like that one a lot. That's not the movie I'm going to talk about today, though. It's I watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen this?
I have long ago, and I don't remember anything really but the premise.
Okay, so I will give a quick rundown.
Starring, and James Stewart's voice.
Starring Jimmy Stewart with that fucking voice. That's why we watched it. We're like, I fucking love It's a Wonderful Life, so like, let's do it. He basically gets sent to Congress. You get sent to the Senate, essentially, not by accident, but like somebody dies and they need to fill the seat, and the governor is getting pressured by this big business guy, Mr. Taylor, to send just like a yes man, but his constituents are like, fuck you, like we don't want that. And so he ends up picking who he thinks is a dopey kind of hero, and that's this James Stewart's character of Mr. Smith, Jefferson Smith. He leads the Boy Scout troop, basically. And he runs like a little rinky-dink boys newspaper. Like, he's just like a dork. But he's like a hero because he put out a forest fire. So they send him thinking, cool, this is great. We have a big evil plan happening and we don't want him to mess it up. So
what is their evil plan? Are they just ripping people off?
Basically, yeah. So their evil plan is they want to build a dam and they like have hidden it in this bill.
Is it going to flood the town?
No, they have bought up all the land on it under shell company names. Ooh. So they're going to profit off of it.
They're doing the Leopold II move?
I don't know. Is that what Leopold II did?
Well, that's how he got the Belgian Congo. Well, the Congo Free State, when it was his private ownership thing.
That's
he did
right.
literal shell companies and just like said, that's what they're doing. I'm going to do like, you know, philanthropy. Like, it'll be great.
So, yeah, that's what they're doing, right? So they've got that scheme going. They're like, okay, we'll just hire this dumbass. We'll keep him away. It'll be fine.
Fucking dumbass.
So he gets there. He is extraordinarily naive. Like, he immediately wanders out of the train station where, like, he has all these people with him, like, waiting to take him to the office. And he just goes sightseeing. Like, he just is overwhelmed by fucking patriotic love. There's, like, a 10-minute, maybe not 10, it's probably 5-minute, just American patriotism porno that you gotta kind of, like, okay, we get it. Like, there's a fucking...
He's, like, pledging allegiance at the Jefferson Memorial or something.
Essentially,
like,
oh, yeah.
I'm named after him.
He's looking at fucking the Lincoln Memorial, looking at the Gettysburg Address on there. Like, you've got the flag waving in the back.
It's like reading it out loud 4 score and 7 years ago.
A little child reads part of it aloud. So,
oh,
yeah.
God, worse.
Yeah, really on the nose. So you got to get through some shit, though, okay? Long story short, he gets into the Senate, and they try to keep him busy by saying, oh, just, like, write a bill. What are you into? And he's like, oh, I want to start a national boys' camp.
He wants to start Hitler Youth, like.
I mean, you could be
but
more
maybe
generous.
Maybe a nicer version.
I mean, it is super patriotic, though. He's like, I want to teach him what it's all about, and blah, blah. So, he wants to do that, and he's like, I've got a perfect idea for where it should be, and it happens to be on the same land as this fucking dam. And so, his secretary, she's, like, really conflicted, because she really likes him, but she also is, like, kind of being paid to handle him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they, like... The other senator is trying to distract him. Like, he sets up, like, his hot daughter with him to, like, go take him out whenever there's a Senate hearing about
good.
The
Always
the
a good
bill.
Plan, yeah.
Super good. Just, like, using the honeypot. So, like, they distract him so he won't know about the dam till later. He's writing his bill. He's, like, boys are sending him, like, money in envelopes to, like, raise money for the camp or whatever.
That's how they think that government does its funding, is the whoever writes the bill has to come up with the money, like, from donations.
So the idea was, like, well, the government will loan us the money and the boys will pay it back. And I'm just like, why are you asking children to fund it?
Why would anyone write a bill that way?
I don't know. He's really dumb. Anyway, he gets in trouble. The other senator frames him and makes it look like he owned that land around the dam, and he's the scammer because he was going to expose them, because he finds out. His secretary gets pissed and is like, dude, these guys are bad. They're grifters. Here's the situation. She, like, gets drunk and tells him all this.
Oh, she literally gets pissed and tells him.
Yeah, she gets pissed off. Like, literally gets
in
pissed.
In the British sense.
Yes. And she tells him, like, hey, you're getting fooled. You were hired just to be a dummy, and, like, here's what's going on. So he's about to warn them in Congress. Like, he's standing up to say, like, hey, this is a scam. And then he gets cut off by the other senator who betrays him, and they have made it so it looks like he's the scammer. So they have, like, they have a hearing, they have a committee, and, like, they're trying to kick him out of Congress. But he, like, manages to get the floor at the last minute and then has to filibuster, right? And so that's his thing. He's like, I'm going to fucking filibuster until people in my home state. By the way, they literally never mention what state he is from the entire movie. They just say state or yeah. My home state. And so Kyle and I kept joking it was Middle Dakota, so which we decided on. So he's like, okay, I'm going to wait till I hear back from Middle Dakota, and I'm going to stand here until they know what's going on, until they are aware of what's happening, and they can come back and tell me their opinion, right? And so he's filibustering. This is the part I really want to talk about. Because you cut back to Middle Dakota, and you've got the big, they call it, you know, the Taylor machine, this corporation. They are working round the clock to write newspapers and buy up radio ad time and all this shit to smear Smith and say, like, oh, he's blocking this important relief bill. You know, you're going to miss out on all these jobs and money and blah, 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 and make him look like the worst person ever.
Yeah, what a dick.
And so they get an idea, oh, he's got this little newspaper, let's call them up. And so they get the boys at home to print a newspaper that's, like, telling the truth, right? And so You've got this rinky-dink boys newspaper, they start distributing it, and then fucking the big corporation starts attacking boys.
Just the concept of boys?
They start finding these boys because they have wagons full of the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just come up and steal their papers. They run over their wagons with cars. At one point, the boys are driving a car, which I'm like, you're too young to be driving a car. But I guess the rules are different back then.
It's in middle Dakota. Like,
yeah, there's no laws there.
Yeah.
And another car comes up with like the bad guys. And I'm like, they're not going to, what are you going to do? Run them off the road? They proceed to run them off the road. They run into the boys' car. They don't just like force them off. They like physically hit the other car.
They got off easy. They could have fucking Tommy gunned them or something. Done a drive-by.
They hose them in the streets. They try to do a demonstration. They hose them. They're doing all the classic moves.
That's crazy. Middle Dakota, they don't play.
They don't fuck around. And so by the end, like, all the mail that comes in from his group, all the telegrams are anti-Smith because, you know, the Taylor propaganda won out.
Wait. The big machine?
The big machine, yeah. And so the other senator tries to kill himself because he feels so bad. And then he comes back and he's like, just kidding, it was me. And confesses to everything, which is insane.
And that's the end?
It was the most abrupt ending. Like, dude hadn't even gotten up off the floor yet. And they're like, the end!
That would be hilarious if they, during the credits, like after the initial card or whatever, they show like the votes rolling in and they still loses.
And the dam goes
they
up.
They still put the dam up and then...
I would not be surprised, honestly. Oh, it just cracked me up. I'm like, this is some like... really classic tactics for like union busting and shit, you know. Yeah. Just like fucking turn the hose on them, like do whatever
frame the
it
guy
takes
in the first place,
like they're buying up papers and shit. It was really nasty.
That's wild. And then just running over the kids,
just running children off the road. Just a great example.
Do whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, man, gotta protect capital.
That's the school of thought of Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. You heard of this? I mean,
have you heard of this guy?
You heard of him lately?
No. What's he up to?
So apparently Monday he first urged this. He urged people whose routes were blocked by pro-Palestinian protesters to, quote, take matters into your own hands and confront the offenders, endorsing the use of physical force against peaceful demonstrators.
Hey, what the fuck, dude?
He made a series of social media posts, but this was in response to people, to protesters shutting down traffic in various places across the country. Coordinated protests across the U.S. that happened yesterday, so Monday. In California, protesters chained themselves to barrels and blocked lanes on I-880 in Oakland. Another group carried banners and disrupted southbound traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge. Or in both directions, rather. There was people in Chicago near the airport. So, you know, kind of all over the place. San Antonio, they had people.
Nice.
Blocking both sides of the Valero Energy Company headquarters, jamming traffic in the city's northwest side. New York City, hundreds of protesters blocking traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. And anyway, Cotton's response to all this in a series of social media posts was to call those responsible pro-Hamas and criminals.
Very measured response there.
Normal guy, sitting senator. But I mean, you know, they can do terrible things, as we just saw in the Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. But he also shared a clip of himself during a recent interview, which I think is the most vain thing to post yourself.
In an interview, too. Of like, that interview went really well. I gotta show everybody that.
Yeah, that's next level vanity. A recent interview in which he said that if protesters had disrupted public roads in his home state of Arkansas, he did say his home state instead of saying in my home state.
Yeah, not Middle Dakota.
They would have been met with force from citizens. Oof. I don't know his particular accent, but I imagine it's sort of Southern.
I would assume. His name is Tom Cotton.
He said in this clip, presumably, in the interview with Fox News, let's just say I think there would be a lot of very wet criminals that would have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they are blocking. If they glued their hands to their car or pavement, it'd probably be pretty painful to have their skin ripped off.
Oh my God. Yeah. So with wet, at first I was like, do you mean with blood?
Like, are they squishing them was my first
Oh God.
Picture.
But then I was like, well, maybe they're on a bridge.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because they were blocking some bridges. That's how I got there. But then you're talking about fucking ripping hand skin off. Like, Jesus, dude.
Just violent.
Fucking settle down.
On Tuesday morning, he posted a video showing a group of men forcibly removing protesters in orange vests from a roadway that appeared to be outside of the United States. So somewhere else. In the clip, one man is shown roughly dragging a protester off the road by his feet. Mr. Cotton wrote, "How it should be done."
Jesus.
So, normal guy, again, yeah. Sitting U.S. Senator.
Totally fine.
Saying, just go wild. I was thinking about that, though, and I was like, well, but then again, like, I don't like it because of who he's going against. But, I mean, as a supporter of revolution in some sense, he can't necessarily be like, or, you know, I mean, we would be in favor of, like, civil disobedience and then clashing with, yeah, you know, like strikes and stuff. Like you gotta fucking stand up and fight the strike breakers, the thugs, and everyone they send after you. The scabs, you gotta bust their heads in so they don't take your job.
I mean, yes, but like I think it's a question of the power structure. Like you're also gonna have cops. Like, yeah. Guess whose side they're gonna be on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that lines up for me. I mean, I guess like the only other one I can think of is like Nazi demonstrations, you know, like my stance on this. I think punching Nazis, that's totally fine.
It's both legal and
good,
funny and fun.
It's all good on every level.
And the great thing is it's like non-discriminatory. Like anybody who does that as a Nazi, you can punch them. It's fine. Maybe not if they're kids. If they're kid Nazis, don't run them off the road, maybe.
They didn't choose that life. Someone told them to do that.
Yeah, you got to think about that. But otherwise, you're pretty good.
Yeah, that's fine. There's another good movie. It stars Daniel Radcliffe, and he does a great fucking job. It's called Imperium.
Okay, I have not watched that.
It's he goes undercover infiltrating a like skinhead group. And it's really interesting because, like, he has to, you know, get really close to these guys. It's real fucked up, but it's a good movie.
Imperium. Okay. I don't know where I saw this mentioned, but I was like, that sounds weird.
It's good. It's surprisingly good.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
He super, like, disappears into the role because, you know, he's got, like, an American accent and shit. And I'm like, damn, you're good at that.
Yeah. Impressive. What have we watched lately? We just caught up with the Three Body Problem.
Oh, I didn't see that. I heard it's good.
It's pretty cool. Like, cool okay. Sci-fi shit.
Okay. Okay, I was going to ask the premise.
Premise is physicists start kind of offing themselves or getting freaked out by stuff, quitting their jobs. There are aliens.
Oh, damn.
Very mysterious aliens. And then it's
are they
like,
communist?
Are they kind of evil? Or what's going on? Some people serve them. But they're like kind of a shadowy bad group, maybe. There's lots of scenes and flashbacks and stuff in China. The book it's based off of was originally like, it's from China.
Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, in the TV adaptation, it's like a lot of recasting and stuff. There's kind of a background element that's like set in revolutionary China.
Ooh.
And it opens up with this, in my opinion, fairly anti-communist, like... scene from the Great Proletarian Cultural Revolution, which is like an overly zealous struggle session where they kill this guy.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and it's like not this great. Public execution sort of thing. I don't know. So I have some elements of that. And apparently China's complaining about that sort of stuff. And people are like, China, like they can't take a, you know, show like they're any little criticism. I'm like, well, whatever. It's cool, though. Like, the enjoyable thing, the thing I really like most about it, I think, is constantly, like, speculating with Abby, like, okay, so, like, but, like, what do you think the aliens are like, doing here? Like, what are they like, you know? Because they're still so mysterious. Like, you can't really figure out their true plan or whatever.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, the way I know about this show is really embarrassing. It's mom sent me a TikTok of the main actress doing an interview about her favorite stuff from Mexico. So all I know is the lead actress is from Mexico. That's it. That's all I know.
Well, it's also kind of cool because they cycle through. They follow the characters fairly evenly, I think. not everyone, but there's like obviously several real main characters. So it's.
Yeah, yeah. Big cast. It's
kind of a collaborative effort there. Yeah. So I'm thinking okay, well, I think I know who you're talking about now.
But she's got the short hair.
Yeah. Kind of bob haircut.
Mm-hmm. She's cute. Yeah. Well, she's from Mexico, just in case you're wondering.
All right, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds good. I need a new show. We're clearly just rewatching old shit.
Well, you can also watch Fallout.
I heard it's really bad.
Really? I've only watched like 2 episodes of it so far.
Okay.
We liked them.
Okay.
But we haven't gotten that far into it. I don't know. I didn't think it was bad, really, but...
That was one of the ones that came up in kind of the discussions about how people don't know how to frame shots anymore. Of like, it was just a lot of like talking head, you know, medium shot back and forth, but like in a very uninteresting way. And someone in the comments was trying to make an argument like, that's what the video game looks like. It's like, yeah, but I don't fucking want it to look like a video game. Like, it's a different medium.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to think of those episodes of the... I guess I didn't study the cinematography of it that much, but it didn't strike me, but it could have been a thing, and I just overlooked it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't super notice those things. Like, I feel like I've gotten a little bit better about it, but I don't know. You guys still haven't fucking caught up on Avatar, though, have you?
We watched a couple more episodes.
God, I hate you guys. You sound so uninterested. What'd you think about Jet? Let's talk about Jet.
Okay, yeah.
So guys, we're talking about Avatar The Last Airbender, and I believe it's still season 1. It might be season 2.
I think it's season 1. Jet, he's this guy, he's in the woods, and he fights against the Fire Nation guys. He hates them.
Yeah, Fire Nation are imperialist bad guys, and he's got a group of freedom fighters. That's what he calls them.
Yeah, and they're cool. Like, they got the big guy, they got the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got a cool crew. They have traps and stuff, so they're clearly doing some guerrilla warfare. Okay, my opinion on Jet is they do to Jet what they did to Homeboy in The Expanse.
Where I didn't watch The Expanse.
The main
I know what you're talking
rebel
about,
son of the rebel faction guy who's like, he's initially... Like, we got to do what we got to do. We got to make some sacrifices and take the fight to, you know, the powers that be to, you know, get what we want. And then he kind of like turns into, I want to do destruction. Ha 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 ha.
Yep.
And
to me, classic trope.
Jet was like, it made sense what he was doing. And then it's just like, yeah, I don't care about any of the people. Like,
yeah. I think they did a disservice in writing him because, like, there's another character later that has kind of a similar storyline of, like, these are deeply, like, traumatized people. Like, Jet is a literal child, you know, in a big war where his parents were killed, you know, his village is taken over, whatever. But, yeah, it's like if at the end of Snowpiercer, fucking Chris Evans is like, I'm gonna start killing kids for fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they love to have radicals who are fighting back against the evil empire do some evil shit to show that, like, actually all violence is bad.
Right. Yeah. Which there's an element. I mean, there is some sort of a exploration to be had of the notion of violent means, not just violent means, but like whatever extreme means one must take can weigh down on you and perhaps twist what you're trying to do down the road.
For sure. Makes sense.
And I think one of the things we've discussed more than once is, you know, the Bolsheviks being very secretive because they had to be able to be remembered in history by anybody. Like, that's why we're talking about them, is because they were successful, and they were successful because they were secretive under a police state.
You can say that about violence, too. You can say that about other groups as well. Like, they had to do violence.
Yeah.
And that is something, I think Avatar, and you'll see this later in the series if you keep watching it, has interesting discussions about violence. Like, the main character, Aang, is like, he was raised by monks. He's very anti-violence. And you'll notice, like, he doesn't kill anybody. You know? Okay. And partially because this is a children's cartoon and there's fucking standards and practices. You can't just go fucking blast
rips
people.
Out skulls and shit. He's wearing a necklace of ears.
I always laugh because I'm like, firebending looks the most useless because they can't actually fucking burn someone to a crisp on a TV show. So all it is just whoosh power.
Yeah.
It's like, it's basically airbending. It's just like more hot.
Or you do like Looney Tunes style, you know, Yosemite Sam got a blown up ash face.
Uh-huh. Or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like that or like Team Rocket rules of like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And it's really funny because there's a second series, and that one's set in like kind of a 1920s-ish time period. And so you see, like, there's plane battles, but you see every single pilot gets out before the plane blows up and gets a parachute on. It's like, okay, well, this is still a children's cartoon, huh? But anyway, it does have interesting things to say about that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously is limited by its power as, you know, a fucking children's show that they literally can't kill people. But I like that they kind of address it of like, Aang is like, I choose not to kill people, you know? I don't know. The last book is a lot about him, like, struggling with that choice.
Interesting. Like, maybe struggling with the choice of, like, I choose that knowing that some things are going to happen because of it.
Well, everyone kind of expects him to kill the Fire Lord, you know? Like, you know, that's not a spoiler. You know that now. They're like, you got to fight the Fire Lord, and fight implies, like, you're going to kill this guy or what?
You're going to turn him into the authorities?
Yeah, like, he's the authorities. So, yeah, I think with Jet, it's similar of, like, yeah, clearly he's doing some important freedom fighter shit. Like, he has a whole resistance cell, and it's mostly kids, and, like, he's probably feeding a whole bunch of kids. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But then they have to show him, like, robbing an old man and trying to destroy an entire village. And it's like, couldn't you have, like, worked with earthbenders to, like, redirect the dam to just hit, like, the fort or something in town? Like, was there a way to do that? Like, that would have been way cooler if, like, no, that'll still kill soldiers, and that's bad. And he'd have to be like, no, that's good.
Yeah.
It's a good show, but is obviously hemmed in by its limitations.
Yeah, for sure. We're not opposed to it or anything. It's just, we're slow moving. We don't watch shows that fast.
Yeah, you guys aren't real bingers, are you?
No, we watch like a few episodes. I guess Abby, you know, turns in for the night quicker. And I don't like to just continue without, so.
That'll limit your pace. Oh, I do have a small update, and I will post these figures on social, but we were able to, sorry it took me so long, but I was able to give to various mutual aid groups. I had it on my calendar and I kept pushing it back, which was stupid. So, we were able to give $335 each to the following organizations. The Oak Cliff Veggie Project, which I've worked with them before. They run a community garden and deliver fresh produce to folks in need. Feed the Funk, which is a food fridge out in Fort Worth. Say It With Your Chest, Dallas, which is an organization that coordinates, I believe they started out of kind of like Black Lives Matter movements, but they also like do shopping for houseless people and drives for that. And so seems really cool. We also have the kind of a new one here, the Brown Berets of DFW.
Okay.
Found them through the Insta, and they do really cool like cultural workshops as well as lots of demonstrations and stuff. They're pretty cool on Instagram if you want to find them. Then North Texas Rural Resistance, which we have given to before, and they do harm reduction mainly in Denton. Things like Plan B and Narcan Care, rather, and they're really cool. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, so sorry it took me till April. That was dumb.
But we got it done.
We got it done, okay.
The people's money is in the hands of the people once again.
Yes, yes. And that will happen with all our Patreon money for this year, too. Hopefully in a more timely fashion come January.
Yeah, well, that's our goal. Always room for growth. You know, you always got to do self-criticism and then be like...
Self-crit.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
awesome.
Next week, we're hitting the books again. I know we should have reading, but... Reading is cool, and everyone should read.
Christine likes reading. They're getting me to read stuff.
I am. So, as you heard earlier in the program, I have been reading The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. Now, this is available pretty much fucking anywhere. I'm using my library app to get it, and there was no wait, because often when you read really old books, no one else is waiting for them. So,
They've been there, done that. Like, read that, watched the movie.
Obviously. So it's about 400 pages, and it's very good. I'm only about 150 in, and I'm like, man, shit's bad. How's it going to get much worse? So yeah. I'll report back next week with how much worse it gets. We also have a copy of the graphic novel illustrated by Christina Gehrman. Probably Gehrman. G-E-H-R-M-A-N-N.
Yeah, I would say Gehrman.
Who did an adaptation in graphic novel form. So I'll be slipping that on over to Grady's house so he can read it fast.
Yay, I like reading fast.
I figure you do all the work in other areas, so you get to read comics for next week's class.
Hell yeah.
That's the painful part about making graphic novels, y'all, is you spend 3 years on them and people read it in 30 minutes. So you try not to think about it too much or you go insane.
Hey, you know, people spend a long time writing symphonies and stuff.
That's true. Those are like 2 minutes or whatever. You know, like, yeah. I don't know, depends on the song or the movement or whatever. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. I could have a worse ratio is what you're saying.
Yeah, I was going to say like songs, but I don't think people take that long to put together songs. Like, it's not...
Probably not.
Especially these days. But
yeah, they got their teams. All right. Well, we will talk to y'all then.
All right. Adios.
Bye. Hey there, comrades. Just jumping in to remind you of all of our social media. We are on Twitter at Teach Communism, Instagram at Teach Me Communism. You can shoot us an email. That's teachmecommunism@gmail.com. Any of those places are good to send us an episode suggestion or a question, anything you think would be useful feedback for us, or just your admiration. If you want to admire us in a public manner, and you should, you can go to Apple Podcasts to give us a review. It is the best way to help people find the show. Love when people write and review us. Please do both. We are also on YouTube, if that's how you prefer to listen to podcasts, or if you know someone that's the only way they'll listen to podcasts, send them to our page. And we have a Patreon. For $5 a month, you get access to our notes for each week's episode, including the backlog of notes, which is a very handy resource for up-and-coming commies. And at the end of the year, all of the funds from Patreon will be given to local mutual aid in the DFW area. So, ain't going to line our pockets. Finally, we have merch. Check us out at TeePublic. You can find shirts and I believe also stickers and magnets and all kinds of fun stuff, with catchphrases from the show or episode art, stuff like that. The link to that store is in the show notes, so check that out. Okay, that's all the internet. Join us next time for another episode of Teach Me Communism, where the class struggle is always in session. Bye, y'all.